This morning's sermon is called The True Vine from John chapter 15, verse 1 through 11, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Again, this passage took place on Thursday evening, just hours from Jesus getting arrested and taken to the cross. Chapters 13 through 17 took place on Thursday evening, just before the Passover. John recorded lots of things that Jesus said on this night. He wrote down more things than any other gospel writer. Jesus, as we've been reading, he's been promising them and us believers the things that he was going to do for them. Now he switches to what he wants to do through them. Okay? He wants to do through them. He's been telling them promises after promises, and now he tells them here, he switches and says, this is what I want to do now through you. If you brought your Bible with you, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. 15, I'm sorry. Yeah, 15. I just want to see if you guys are paying attention. I obviously wasn't. I'm glad you guys are on the ball. Man, I love you guys. Yeah, that's it. So let's go through the Word of God. Let's take a look at these verses here. We're going to take a look at verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the words which I have spoken to you. Wow, let's talk about this. Jesus used a well-known illustration to the disciples when he said this, when he said, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. One of the symbols that you will find all over the Old Testament, especially of the Lord's relationship to the nation Israel, is that God called them the vine. When you read that in the Old Testament, the vine, he was speaking of Israel, and he is the vine dresser. It is his vineyard, right? His disciples had the Old Testament scriptures, so they would have understood this illustration. In the Old Testament, Israel, again, is known as the vine that God planted and that God chose to bring the gospel to the world and bear fruit in his name. But unfortunately, they often failed at doing this. Whenever you read about the vine in the Old Testament, it always talks about the failure to bear fruit. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 2, verse 21, and he said, speaking of Israel, he says, yet I had planted you a noble vine, speaking of Israel, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? God is saying, I planted you. I know what I planted was good. How is it that you turned out the way you did? Now we come to the New Testament, and Jesus tells them, I am the true vine. They would have understood this. I'm the true vine. I'm not the vine that fails to bear fruit. In other words, I am the one who brings forth good fruit. They would have known exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said this to them. I'm not the vine that you read about that didn't bear fruit. I'm the true vine that bears fruit. Wonderful illustration. If you brought your Bible with you, turn to Psalm 80. Turn to Psalm chapter 80. I want to share this with you. Psalm chapter 80. I want you to go down to verse 7. We're going to read verse 7 and 8, then we're going to go down to verse 17 and 18. Again, Psalm 80, verse 7. The psalmist wrote, "Restore us, O God of hosts." God of hosts means the God of all the universe. "Cause your face to shine, and we will be saved. You have brought a vine, Israel, out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations." He's talking about in Canaan, the promised land. "And planted it," Israel. You planted it, Israel, in Canaan. Now go down to verse 17. Look at 17 and 18. He wrote, the psalmist, "Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand." We know who that is, right? "Upon the Son of Man, whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name." He's saying, send us the true vine. Restore us, Lord. Prophesying about Jesus as the true vine that sits at your right hand, the Son of Man. Prophesying about Jesus. Now, in our passage, Jesus, right, he says to them and to us, he says, "I am the true vine." Right? Not the vine of old. I'm the true vine. And my Father, he's the vine dresser, right? The vine dresser would be the farmer. They would have understood this, right? The one who cares for the vineyard, listen, faithfully. Right? He doesn't assign the farm to somebody else. No. He cares for it himself. That's what he's telling, right? I want you to notice something else, too, in these verses right here. Did you notice Jesus used the another statement of "I am"? Right? You see that? This is the seventh time that in the Gospel of John that Jesus declares that he's God in the flesh. Yes, the Son of Man, but God in the flesh as well, right? Yahweh. He makes another statement. They would have understood this. He said, he's been saying, "I am this, I am that, I am." He tells him, he says, "I am the true vine," declaring he's God in the flesh. John recorded seven times Jesus saying, declaring he's God in the flesh. I am. That's God's name. That's God's title, Yahweh. Right? Remember when God sent Moses into Egypt? He says, "Hey, when Pharaoh says, who sent me in here? What do I say?" God said, "You tell him I am sent you." I am. Not I was. I am. Jesus uses the same title as God because he is God. He's God in the flesh. Then Jesus said in verse 2, you see this? "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." Let's just stop right there for a minute. I don't want you to take this out of context like many people have, okay? He's not talking about salvation in this passage. Because look at verse 3. "You are already clean because of my word which I have spoken to you." He's talking to the 11 disciples, 11 faithful men. Right? Notice he said, "In me, in Christ." He's talking to the saved, not the lost. There's no lost in this group that Jesus is talking to. So don't take this out of context. Judas had already been sent packing, right? We read that. He's down to his 11 faithful. He's talking to the saved, faithful men. Right? Think of this. I want you to think of this. If I have to bear fruit in order to be saved, well, that's a works-based gospel. That's false. That's not the gospel of grace, right? I want you to know that. I want you to take this out of context. Okay, like many people have. Oh, God's got to cut you away. You don't bear fruit? Out. No. He's talking to faithful men. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the saved. Right? We know Ephesians 2:8, right? "For by what? Grace, you have been saved through faith," right? Not of yourselves. It's a gift of what? God, right? It's a gift of God. And then what does Paul write? Not of works. And he even writes, "Lest anyone boast," right? So, because we're not saved by work. If I have to bear fruit in order to be saved, well, that's a works-based gospel. That's not what Jesus is saying here when he says, cut it away, right? It's, I want you to think of this. It's not what I did, it's what he did, right? Amen? It's not what I did, it's what he did in me, right? Now listen, you can be saved and not bear fruit. You can be fruitless in the sight of the Lord. Saved? Yes. Bearing fruit? No. You can coast your way all the way into heaven and show up with no fruit. And it all, right? You can show up there with all your works that you did down here that can burn up like wood, hay, and stubble before the Lord if it wasn't done with the right heart and the right motive. I told you guys this before, and I'll tell you again, I believe 100% many people will make it into heaven by the skin of their teeth, but will not have any fruit to bear before Jesus. I do believe it. Right? Right? Here's the thing. Saved, not bearing fruit. Right? You can be saved and be unfruitful. I'm going to give you an example in the Bible. Lot. You know Mr. Lot, right? Abraham's grandson, his nephew, right? He was a true believer in God, but everything we read about him in the scriptures is unfruitful, right? And then we get to the New Testament, Peter calls him righteous. I had to read that 5 times. I thought he was writing about Abraham. I'm like, wait a minute, is he talking about Lot? I haven't read one good thing about this man in the scriptures. And Peter now is calling him righteous, as in saved? Yes. Saved? Fruitless, right? Lot, a true believer but unfruitful, saved but unfruitful. Jesus had every branch that, but look at what Jesus wrote next, what he said. He said, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? That it may bear more fruit. Here's the message. God wants more fruit. Amen? God wants more fruit. That's the message. If you're fruitful, Scripture says he wants to help you be what? More fruitful. And the more you stay connected to Jesus Christ, the more pruning and the more fruit will come. Jesus said, you are already clean. You're already saved because of the word which I spoke to you, but now go bear fruit in my name. Right? You're already clean because you see, you notice Jesus said, you are already clean because of my word. Right? It's God's word that cleanses us. It's God's word where we find life. God's word brings life, right? Jesus is known as what? The Word, right? We read that, John 1:1. In the beginning was the what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we have read in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by what? Hearing, by hearing the Word of God, right? It's God's Word that brings life to the person. You can tell someone about God all you want until they dig in the Scriptures and find out who he is and realize how great his grace is. It's not going far. Because Scripture tells us you find life in his word. When you realize how much of a sinner you are and how amazing his grace is, that's when you find life, right? If you make a commitment to the word of God, you will continue to be cleansed, the Scripture says, continue to be washed, and now you'll be continued, Jesus says, to be pruned. And you will be bearing more fruit, not less fruit. Commitment to the word, right? To the psalmist in 119:9, he said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. That's how. The same psalmist wrote in verse 50, he said, your word has given me life. Your word, right? Jesus said in Luke 11:28, blessed are those who, listen, blessed are those who hear my word and keep it. Blessed. Jesus. Jesus' words, guys. It's not my words. Jesus said, Blessed are those who hear my word and keep it in the heart. It means something to you, not in one ear and out the other. Blessed, Jesus says. I'm going to bless you because you've heard my word and you keep it in your heart. It's amazing, right? Let's look at verse 4 and 5. Listen carefully to these two verses. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Great illustration. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. It's going to happen. Then look what Jesus said. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. Wow. Without me, you can do nothing, says the Lord. Zero. Zilch. Underline that in your Bible. Highlight it. Draw an arrow to it. Cut it out. Stick it on your forehead. So when you look in the mirror, you'll remember this. I studied this. I have never forgotten this. I could not stand in God's pulpit without him. I remember when I first got into the ministry, I had a heart for God. I couldn't even do call to worship. Shaking like a leaf. I don't know. Right, hon? That's the fastest I ever read, and I sat right back down. I could never do this without God. And he told me that. Sean, and he tells you, you can do nothing without me. I don't care if you got a 12-year degree. You ain't doing nothing without me. Apart from me, you can do nothing, says the Lord. I've memorized that over and over and over and say it often to myself. But here's the other side. We can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens us. Amen? He says, you ain't going to do anything apart from me, but you can do anything if I'm with you. Praise the Lord. Since the Lord has saved you, he wants to use you. This is what he's saying, okay? Since saving you, he wants to use you. You might be surprised that you didn't get saved just to make it into heaven. That's not why he saved you. That's a benefit. He saved you because he wants to use you. He wants you to bear fruit in his name. His intentions are that you might bear fruit. Why? Because it glorifies the Father. It honors the Father when you bear fruit. So you say, I want you to bear fruit in my name because it glorifies the Father. When you come to Christ, God takes that very seriously. Very seriously. When you surrender your life to Christ, all in, he takes that very seriously. And now he wants to begin to use your life. He wants to pour out his spirit in you, and he wants to begin a work in you and through you for the Father's glory. So how do I bear fruit? Look at verse 4. We just read it. Abide in Jesus. That's it. That's how you bear fruit. Jesus said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Jesus used the word abide or abiding 8 times in this short passage, and he used the word fruit 10 times. Abide equals fruit. That's the message. You're already clean. We read this, right? You're already clean, Jesus said. I've cleansed you. I've saved you. The pruning is on. And now all I want you to do, he says, just abide in me. Abide in me. stay close to me. If you want to be useful to the Lord, you're going to have to do this one thing: abide in Christ. You are going to have to stay connected to Jesus if you want to bear fruit. Not a Sunday worshiper. 7 days a week. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you, and we'll bear much fruit. What a message, huh? It's the only requirement that you and I have as a Christian if we want to bear fruit. Jesus says this one thing: just abide in me. Just abide in me. And I'll abide in you, and you will bear fruit in my name. What is fruit? Biblically, souls are fruit. Fruit is holiness. You may want to be a holy man or a holy woman. That's fruit. Good works are fruit according to Colossians 1. Worship is fruit according to Hebrews 13. Honoring, right? Doing things that honor the Lord, that's fruit. Spending more time with the Lord, that's fruit. If we walk in love and worship from the heart, that's fruit. When we help those in need, that's fruit. When we are sharing the gospel, that's fruit. Many ways to bear fruit, but the only way you're going to do it, Jesus says, you're going to have to abide in me. It's the only way you're going to do it. Let's look at verse 6. Jesus said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now don't read this and say, oh great, I'm on my way to hell. The context hasn't changed. Right? Don't read that and be, oh boy, yep, I'm on my way to hell. Jesus just told me. No. The context hasn't changed. If the branches stay out of fellowship with the Lord and they are not abiding in him, not staying close to Jesus, they have lost their opportunity to bear fruit. And the fruit that you hope for will be lost. Your salvation isn't lost. Your opportunity to bear fruit is lost. Okay? Jesus makes the illustration that if you cut off a branch, if you don't abide in me, you cut a branch off, the branch is going to be fruitless. I don't know if you guys have seen a branch laying on the ground out here or whatever. There's no fruit on it. It usually withers and withers and dries up, and right? It's useless. That's what he's saying, right? If you cut a branch off an apple tree, you're not going to get any apples. Right? It's simple. This is what he's saying, right? You might as well throw the branch in the fire, he says. It's useless. It's not abiding in me. Yeah, saved, but you're not abiding in me. You're not going to bear any fruit. Might as well cut it off. They're useless, right? Again, are you saved? Yep. Are you going to make it in? Yep. But are you going to bear fruit? Nope. And let me tell you something. That's going to be Christians' biggest regret when they stand before Jesus Christ and they don't have any fruit to offer him. That'll be the biggest regret in your life. Just like everybody in hell right now regrets not coming to Christ before they took their last breath. That is a fact. Hugh, when you stand before Jesus Christ, you're gonna fall. You're not even going to know what to do. Have you ever listened to that song by Mercy Me? Can Only Imagine? Yeah, this is what it's going to be like. And you're going to wish, oh, I wish I bear you more fruit while I was down on the earth. But I want you to know something. God doesn't need my help, nor does he need my service. But he seeks to bring me into fellowship with him so he can use me, so I can enter into his work. He can get the credit, and I can marvel at his work. That's what he seeks. What do I have to do? Abide in Christ. That's it. It's important for you to understand. It's not your job to bear fruit. It's not your job. Your job is to abide in Christ. He'll bear the fruit. Amen? Don't say, oh, I got to go out today. I got to bear some fruit for the Lord. No. He said, you just abide in me, and I in you, and you'll bear much fruit. You just say abide in me, which means connected to me, remain in me, stay close to me. Oh, you'll bear fruit. He'll bear the fruit through you. It's not your job to go out there, start beating people over down at the Tilton outlets with a baseball bat. You better come to the Lord. No. We'll save that for Tony. He can go do it. Your job is just to listen. It can't be any simpler. Abide in Christ. I think we can do that, right? We can just stay close to Jesus. We're going to bear fruit naturally. Just like, listen, it's not your job to convert people. Neither is it mine. God converts people, right? He converts people, right? What did Paul tell us, right? We seed, right? We plant, we water, but God gives the what? The increase. Amen. Exactly. God gives the increase. We plant the seed, we water. He saves. God does the saving, right? God is the one who converts the souls, not us. Same idea here, Jesus is saying. He says, just abide in me, and we will bear fruit. Wonderful message. Let's look at verse 7 and 8. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I read verse 8, you know what I see? God loves fruit. That's what I see. You too? That's what it says. God loves fruit. That's what I see. So I want to be a fruitful guy. Right? I want to bear much fruit. Why? Because he just told us it glorifies the Father. And I will be known as Jesus' disciple. Amazing. Amazing. Abide in my words. Yep. Abide in my words. Abiding in him, abiding in his words. And you see what Jesus said? He said, if you do this, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Does this mean whatever I ask, it's going to be done? No. We talked about this in chapter 14, right? No. Jesus is saying, if you're abiding in me and my word, your prayer life, your desires, your wants are going to start lining up with my will. And it shall be done for you. Because he's going to always, if it's his will, he's going to grant your prayer. If it's his will. Jesus is saying, hey guys, abide in me and my word and your prayer life is going to be powerful. Because you're going to want what I want, says the Lord. When you abide in Jesus and his word, you begin to have the same desires as God. Okay? It's not like, Lord, can I have a big house? Can I have a big boat? Summer's here. No. He's not interested in that. He may bless you with that. I don't know. But he's talking about you abide in him. You're going to begin to want to do his will. So your will is going to line up with his will, and he's going to give you those desires because they're his desires. You're going to start wanting the same things that God wants. It's amazing. Your prayers start lining up with God's will. And he says, ask away. Yes, you want to do my will. That's what I want to do. Ask away, it'll be done for you. Because that's my will for your life anyway. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Let's look at our final verses, verse 9 through 11. Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I also love you. I like that one too. Jesus saying, as the Father loved me, I love you too. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, this sounds familiar, right? We read this in 14. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you, and that you may, your joy may be full. Listen, love for God is displayed in obedience to him. Okay? We read a lot about this in chapter 14. Our obedience is motivated by our love for God, right? You obey God because you love him. That's what God's saying. Your love for Christ motivates you to obey him, right? God describes love by obedience. Obedience is an expression of your love for God. Love and obedience. You cannot split those two up. Okay? You can't say this, oh, I love God, but I don't always agree with him. No, you can't say that. That doesn't work with God. Or you can't say, oh, I love God, but I have my own ideas and my own agenda. No, no, no. That's not going to work with God. God is never going to separate those two. Love and obedience, hand in hand. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my words, obey me. If you love me, you will. Right? What did Jesus say in Luke 6, 7? He says, why do you call me Lord, but do not do the things that I say? Jesus' words. Why do you even call me Lord? You do not even obey me. Luke 6, 7, right? Our passage ends with, I love this, verse 11. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be remain in you, and that your joy may be full. May be full. Abiding in the fellowship of Jesus Christ provides a joy that nobody can give. Nobody can bring the joy that Jesus does. And he said, and you will be eternally bearing fruit. You'll see the power of God, and you'll see answered prayer. How do I get all this? Abide in Christ. That's it. He says, you stay close to me, you stay connected to me, you stay in fellowship with me, and you'll bear much fruit, because I'm going to do it through you. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking directly to our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord, continue to please. Each and every day we pick up our Bibles and read our word. Oh, I pray you open our hearts and our minds to your word. You speak directly to us for your glory. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.